from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Kev and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Gerard, you mentioned getting Drake into the game. What went into the decision to pull him after one series tonight?
Yeah, that was always the plan. The plan was to get him in there for one series, to get Jacoby in there for one series, and then really, you know, it turned into the Zappy show and then the Joe show. That was the plan going in.
Well, I'm proud to say I was there in person to witness it, Curtis. Preseason game number one Thursday night, Gillette Stadium. The lid lifter.
How long did it take you to get out of there?
I left at the half, and I missed the Milton finale, so there were many leaving at the half. I didn't feel bad about that because these games don't matter. They don't count, obviously, but they're actually insulting to the fans. I mean, people that get mad about Drake May not playing or Gerard Mayo's usage of May, I mean, your anger is misplaced here. You should be mad at the NFL. This is a fraud that has been perpetrated on NFL fans who are paying money for these tickets.
Well, but Stacy let me know about that last year, Stacy James for the Patriots. It's changed. It's no longer, it's dynamic pricing. So you're not paying regular
whatever
season prices.
I mean, that should be free. It is actually factually less meaningful than Tuesday's joint practice with the Eagles by a mile.
Well, that's going to be the owner's pitch when they go to 18 games, that there'll only be one game a year, which I think will then eventually just be a practice you go into the stadium for. But
that's what Gerard Mayo should have said. Like, look, the league has given us this structure. These games are fraudulent. I mean, to overuse Wiggy's word, I'm not playing anybody of importance for very long.
But how is there not a follow-up by anybody covering the Patriots that says, when he says that's the plan, why? Why was it the plan? I mean, who cares?
Well, there were
obviously
several questions.
Obviously, it was
there.
The plan. We saw it. That's not an answer.
But he kind of hinted at that. He said we took the starting line out of there after two series.
Okay. It. What else was an interesting thing to know about of that game other than why he only allowed Drake May to play one series? Everything else is irrelevant.
Yeah. Was there more to that, Joe? I think there were a couple follow-up questions beyond that, and he talked O-line. You can get to it later. Not a big deal. But, yeah, so you blame Mayo. You're upset at his answers, or you're upset at the media?
Oh, I don't blame Mayo. Okay. I blame the media for not asking him further, you know.
I think it's just obvious. I mean, I don't know what more you want Mayo to... I mean, Mayo should have ripped the league in the status of the game. That would have been my preference.
So why play him at all?
Yeah, it's a fair question. If they would have not played him, I think it would have made sense.
Would have made more sense?
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess from a standpoint of you actually put a jersey on, he got to go in and out of the huddle a couple times. There's some degree of interest there. But it's also to
he's not going to play in the first half of the season.
Of course not. That's also evident. Like, that's where Scheim is completely wrong. If he's trying to pretend that this in some way means they care about May or this is a competition, it's blatantly obvious that it's not. This is totally different than Bledsoe's rookie year, totally different than Mac Jones, who got significant preseason snaps.
And I would also add that if the organization thought Drake was even close to Jacoby Brissett, they would be pushing him out there because there's not much sellable about this team. But if Drake May is ready to go early, you could say the future is now. You know, get to Gillette Stadium for the start of this.
Now, you guys had Robert Kraft call in yesterday, and that wasn't brought up. Obviously, it was in a different context, Greg's fifth birthday bash.
Correct.
You think owners would get involved at some point if fans get restless that they're not seeing Drake early enough?
When I hear the word collaborative, I don't think about the guy in the mailroom. I think about the guy in the owner's suite. That's what collaborative means to me, that the Krafts were unable to convey or get Bill to do anything. So they brought in a guy that was malleable and Jerod Mayo.
Well, they got Bill to draft Mac Jones. You would agree with me on that. That's when it started, the C word.
I guess. I just...
Maybe Bill was right, and that wasn't the best plan, but they did.
I look at the wide receiver, just that specific position, and I think that Bill Belichick's inability or his inability to either scout or desire to help that position and help Tom is the biggest reason this ended the way it did. I did it on the Greg Hill Show this week. You go back and look at offensive players drafted in the first two rounds, it is a absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they didn't draft a lot of them because Bill didn't want to help that side out, and Bill sucked at finding receivers. And that is, I mean, you look at where they are right now, where Juju gets released.
What a contract. What a waste of a contract.
Jacoby Myers, a guy that came out of nowhere, undrafted free agent, worked his ass off with Cam, became the security blanket for Mac Jones, finally gets to the precipice of free agency, and they say, you go here. The Super Bowl champion Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes say, Juju is not worth it. And he gets here with an exploding knee. He's not even healthy. And then you end up cutting him. I mean, the way in which Bill handled the receiver position was warranting of a dismissal.
Honestly, that deal will go down as one of the worst in Boston sports history, won't it?
I mean,
$16 million guaranteed. They have $10 million. I mean, I know the cap doesn't matter to you, and it doesn't matter to this team because they're not up against it. But they hit $10 million in cap space this year, despite releasing him.
I think that's a good thing because it artificially makes it look like they're closer to the cap.
Okay, maybe.
And they don't have to spend any new money.
Right.
But either way, those are the reasons. Like, everybody wants to talk about how, Bill should be here. It's amazing. It is amazing. Look at the way they, and I'm sorry, Robert Kraft didn't say sign Juju over Jacoby Myers. Robert Kraft didn't say draft N'Keal Harry.
Right. Who said that? Nobody's saying that, right?
Everybody that's, I work with several people that like to have their Bill Belichick glasses on.
Yeah, but nobody's claiming that Kraft made them sign Juju.
Well, they're saying that Kraft didn't allow Bill to pay. I think Bill could have signed DeAndre Hopkins. He chose not to.
I think you should stick with your original premise that Bill is just horrible with receivers. Factually proven.
That's what I'm saying. He's
right.
Awful at it. And that's why the team is where it is right now, part of the reason. And the fact that he drafted Cole Strange, Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn as first round, and N'Keal Harry as first round players. Guys that simply were not.
God, as the years go by, Dante Scarnecchia's legacy.
Oh.
Is just gotta just increase. I mean, the statue should be for Dante, not for Brady.
Hey, that works for me. Nobody's a bigger fan of Dante than I am.
Put Dante in front of Brady, like just metaphorically building the wall around him.
What if they do a Bill statue and it's him looking at the other team's signals?
Anyway, back to May. We do have Shime's hot take.
Oh, let's hear it.
Which I'd like to replay.
Just because Joe Milton had fun running around, throwing passes against guys who won't be on NFL teams in a month, doesn't mean that Joe Milton is more comfortable than Drake May. Everybody needs to take a chill pill and just wait and let Drake May develop and get ready. Yeah, I think this was his way of saying, every healthy player is going to play, but the two guys that matter the most, the two guys that might actually start week one, they're barely going to play at all.
But,
okay.
But just using that thought process, Scheim, isn't Mayo setting himself up for a pretty easy second guess? Should Drake May start week one and struggle that he didn't get him more reps in the preseason?
Oh, absolutely. I don't disagree. I think you and I agree on that. May should have had far more reps in this game than he did. I just think that the lack of reps for both of them means that there's still a competition going on.
So there is no competition, but Scheim would like you to believe that there is one.
Yeah,
I mean, he is hoping. I mean, that's really just like heart overhead.
I haven't heard anybody else say that that means that there is a competition going on. I think Jacoby Brissett, the in-game interview, I don't know if you heard it when you were there, but on the broadcast, this is not a guy that looks like he's in the middle of a heated battle for the position.
No.
I mean, I would be shocked if he, you know, barring injury, if he didn't start with.
Actually, to your point, if they change their mind in the next 2 weeks and play him, then it's worse than, it's a horrible decision because they've now started the process to the point where you've given him no significant reps. Not that this game meant anything anyway, but there has been no competition. You can't just ramp it up now and expect the guy to succeed. At this point, week five is your best bet, right?
Yeah.
That's earliest. And it might be Thanksgiving. It might be later.
And the other thing is, on the optimistic side, I would say the defense looked pretty good, obviously against the worst team in the second worst team in the NFL's second stringers. But I think there's a chance that the defense is really good. And if Jacoby Brissett or the offense, who's ever there, isn't awful, they will be in games late. I'm not going to say they're going to win a bunch of games, but we forget, because we've wanted to forget it, how awful the offense was last year. I mean, awful. They had the game against the Chargers at home. How many games did they get shut out in? Three?
Not to mention penalties and just...
Just going backwards. The fact that the defense did what it did, given the opposing field position, is even more remarkable. Like, it sucks that they are where they are, and it is ugly. I mean, it was when you sent that photo from the suite of Gillette Stadium on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I said when Tom left that it would be like the Bulls after Jordan, and I understated it. I mean, it is tumbleweed city.
Well, even the fans, Fitzy caught up with some of the fans outside the outside Gillette and was just asking them for what they're hoping for this year. And everybody is just beaten down to, I mean, it's just four wins. You know, I'll take five. The expectations are so low.
Has there ever been a more inaccurate term than Patriot way?
Well, they're changing things now. Maybe they're going to scrape that off the wall if it ever was there. 508 texter taking some issue with your Bill critique. Everybody wants to say Bill didn't even try to get Brady any help. Give him credit for trying with Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown. He tried to get Pro Bowl receivers in the same fashion. He got Randy Moss, countless others, Corey Dillon.
What? I mean, Bill waited to get guys off the scrap heap in Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown. He never prioritized the position, and when he did, he got the wrong guy. I mean, you could literally throw a dart and find a receiver in the N'Keal Harry draft that was better. I mean, look at
you
all the...
You couldn't have found a worse one.
Like, literally, if it was harder to find a guy that was bad than it was a guy that was good, and he took the one guy that sucked. And not to mention, N'Keal Harry had the privilege of playing with the greatest to ever do it and still sucked, while DK Metcalf was with Geno Smith or wherever.
All right, now I know you like to rant against Patriots ownership. Maybe not this week because Robert called in. But you are upset that they haven't spent any money. I would like to get and unpack your take on Ayuk and why that failed, and whether money was at the heart of it. We'll do that next. In the meantime, Kenny Curtis from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. We are presented by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford. By joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England edition F-150, it's the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. And here now, Joe B.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Pats fans, what do you want out of this season?
Just don't piss me off.
Progress in the right direction.
I want to see Drake May, baby.
Drake May needs to be playing by Thanksgiving. Anything after that, we riot.
We riot. Joe Milton, starting quarterback.
Every rookie wide receiver we got, we need to play every one of them.
Yep.
Every one of them.
I need at least 6 wins. Give me 6 wins. I'll be happy with 6 wins.
I want more than 4 wins.
Over under is 4.5. I think we will get 5. Five wins. These loving arms will try
me. Good job by Fitzy. Fitzy and the fans are simpatico outside Gillette. And lighthearted fans. Expectations so low, everybody's just there for a good time.
How do you have progress in the wrong direction?
Just progress in the right direction. You can progress in the wrong direction, believe me.
I think the definition of progress means positive.
Well, it's a movement. It's a movement one way or the other. Look up the dictionary definition. The game Thursday. God, it was a tough watch. But then we did
forward
get
onward movement toward a destination.
Right, so it could be a negative destination,
I guess.
The action, I guess, did happen in the fourth quarter with Joe Milton coming in. Good question from a texter, 978 texter. If Jacoby Brissett were to get injured, would they still skip over May?
No.
And bring in a veteran or play Milton?
They would play Zappy.
So they're going to keep him around into the season or just up until the threshold of the start of the regular season?
I would say, that's a good point. Well, don't you think Zappy would just be able to land on the practice squad?
He's a hot commodity now that they're showcasing him.
Well, he did last
year. Teams are clamoring.
Remember the Malik mania we did a year ago, and then he goes cut, and everybody's like, oh my God, how could they cut? Oh, then he was back on the practice squad.
Yeah, but Milton is interesting, as was Malik last year. So I get it. I mean, you're just looking for anything fun to glom onto at this point. So, I guess they will keep Zappy up until the end. You still have a small section of Zappy fans. Is Courtney still in the Zappy camp?
Zappy train.
She's on the Zappy train.
Don't worry, be Zappy.
There it is.
A lot of great built-in puns.
Yeah. And, the Ayuk thing popped up this week. So now, I would like your take on this, your reflection on the week that was. We had it, but to set the stage, this was, of course, the reporting that came out after. Adam Schefter, ESPN, talking about how close, it was another near miss for the Patriots in terms of a high-level target.
New England had the parameters of a trade in place with San Francisco. That wasn't the issue, but they weren't getting a great vibe here as they tried to conduct communication with Brandon Ayuk and his agent. And the longer it went on, the worse they felt about it. And eventually they said, what are we doing here? Let's just focus in on the young receivers that we have. They feel like they're excited about them. And rather than go ahead and give up a huge amount of compensation to the 49ers after or before going ahead to give up what would be a big contract to Brandon Ayuk that he didn't seem overly receptive about getting. They said, we're just going to stand pat and stand down. And so the Patriots have bowed out, and they will not be pursuing any further trade for Brandon Ayuk.
There's Shefty. So now...
Okay, can I ask a question?
Yes.
In what way would it preclude the Patriots from investing in their young receivers by trading for and acquiring Brandon Ayuk?
You would have to cut Kayshon Booty and Jalen Reagor or one of those guys, right? Because you could only keep five.
So you would get rid of the worst young receiver.
Yes.
You would still be investing in young receivers. I just feel like with the adaptation of AI, just get Schefter's phone to a robot. Like, he acts like he just gets texts from teams, and he regurgitates them in a way that makes you think he actually knows what he's talking about.
I'd like to counter that by saying I'm excited to have Adam Schefter back in our lineup this year. He'll be on Wednesdays at 3:45 all through the season. I think he's good. He's a tune-in.
Is that a report?
That's a report.
Okay, because generally speaking, whenever he says something interesting, he then gets mad at you for posting the interesting thing.
He's got a lot of connections, and I think he's going to bring a lot to the table. So that'll be every Wednesday.
Thought I was consulted on that one. Great decision.
Well, you may not agree.
Dump that.
You don't have to agree on everything.
I'd like to have an understanding. Maybe, you know, I think I know a thing or two about this industry.
I had a good couple personal chats with Adam. He's ready to go.
Let me know in week six.
Okay. But hey, there is a lot of backroom stuff happening, and so the Ayuk thing, what is happening? What's your read on this? Were the Patriots actually cheap in this case?
No, I think this is a good sign in Elliott Wolf that the organization is prioritizing a position that it has failed to secure top talent in years past. I believe that the Patriots wanted Brandon Ayuk and that Brandon Ayuk didn't want the Patriots, and it goes back to the Calvin Ridley pursuit where you often say, Ken, what's the point of player X? You're not close to a championship.
Correct.
And I would say
that was the case with the Red Sox in a lot of discussions as well.
This is why you bring in as much talent as you can. You make it more difficult for other talented players to say there's nobody there to play with. And it's just money. They have more money than God. And if you brought in Calvin Ridley and then you trade for Brandon Ayuk, then you have with Ramondre Stevenson in the backfield, you have a legitimate Hunter Henry at tight end. That's the beginnings of a pretty damn good offense. And so, like,
it's just built weird, you would admit.
But you can't build it organically. There's no roadmap that you can just follow in a blueprint to building a championship team. You need a great quarterback. You can do it the way that the Chiefs did, or that, you know, where you have a historically great quarterback in Patrick Mahomes that elevates, or you can draft Tua and surround him with as much talent and an offensive-minded head coach as possible to build him up. But you cannot do the 4 yards in a cloud of dust offense without an offensive line.
Well, that's the biggest point. I mean, before any of this stuff, he just goes back to why your tackles are Vedarian Lowe and Okorafor, and your backup tackles are who? They have... Calvin Anderson.
Connor McDermott or something? No, they just released him.
Calvin Anderson and Caden Wallace.
Right.
That's your four-tackle group. How is that possible? How did that happen?
I don't know. It's inexcusable. I don't...
Like, even if you had better tackles, you might trade for Ayuk.
But this is what I'm talking about. It's not a zero-sum game. You can do both.
Well, yes, you can do both, but you certainly can't not have an offensive line and then go sign two $30 million per year receivers. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Why not?
Well, it's just a waste. I mean, it's just...
Waste of what?
Lipstick on a pig. It's just, you know, you're just...
Don't you think if you're going to do a three-step drop because you have no offensive line, having more talented receivers that teams can't double cover will make it a better chance of succeeding?
They're better off going with Antonio Gibson like they did and just having a running back that can flare out and just drop the ball.
You can do that too.
I guess. It's just wasted. I mean, you're not giving your receiver time enough to get open.
You could acquire linemen. You could make a if you bring in Calvin Ridley, you could trade a fourth round pick for a backup tackle that could play for you, or a tackle on another team that's got more depth. Like, I go back to when the Patriots were really good, and they had a guy, Karras, who went to the Dolphins, who was a sixth lineman, who could play center, who could play guard, who was a legit good player, on top of David Andrews, on top of you know, whoever their left tackle with Trent Brown when he was in shape, and Marcus Cannon, and all of these guys. And now it's just, I don't understand how they have so little. I mean, it's not like there wasn't tackles and linemen available.
Well, what's also bizarre about the Ayuk thing, maybe it was just a contract ploy from their side, from the player or the team side, because they worked out a deal with the Browns for Amari Cooper, a second and a fifth, according to NBC Sports Bay Area. But Ayuk didn't want to play for the Browns, so he wouldn't go there. So obviously he's not going to go to the Patriots. If you're not going to go to Cleveland, I mean, who's not like a surefire playoff team, but they were better than you were. He wanted to play for the Steelers, but the asking price was a second and a third round pick, so they were haggling on that. There's no trade there. Now he's renegotiating with the Niners. So maybe that was the plan all along.
And by the way, pro means positive, so progress has to be in a positive direction.
Yeah, but it's not pro, it's progress. Well. And you can progress in a direction that happens to be the wrong direction.
Anyway, I would like to just add to the conversation very simply. You were wrong about not accumulating as much talent as possible. It's a good thing. If the issue is we don't have time to throw to the best receiver in football or a top 10 receiver, that's a good problem to have.
So if they had signed Ridley, who didn't want to come here,
right?
But you had overpaid to the point where he couldn't refuse.
Correct.
Then Ayuk would have wanted to come here.
Maybe.
It's a long shot.
Or you could have traded that capital, brought him in without a new deal, and then, you know, incentivized him when he was here.
Yeah, I don't disagree they should have offered Ridley more. That wouldn't have... You and I would not have been sitting here with Ridley on the team saying they're going to be an eight... Well, actually, you kind of are saying they're an eight-win team. Are you still on an eight-win team?
Seven. What's the downside if you pay a lot of money to Calvin Ridley? You have nothing but cap space.
Yeah, you do. You have less cap space and less ability to, you know... It's just they operate in a cap scenario. You say it doesn't matter, but you would admit the Patriots and the ownership group operate with money as a factor.
All right.
So therefore, if you spend some of that money on Calvin Ridley, you have less money to spend elsewhere.
All right, I'm going to look up and see what Calvin Ridley's cap hit this season is for the Titans. Let's see, Tennessee Titans.
Or do you think Tennessee's going to make a run now that they've got Ridley?
No, you just said cap space, so I'm looking to see what Calvin Ridley's cap hit this year
is.
So bear with me for 1 second. Cap hit. Calvin Ridley's cap hit is $10 million.
Okay, so Robert and Jonathan would look at that and say, we're spending a lot of money. What's the actual cash value out this year for Calvin Ridley?
Cash total, $25 million.
Okay, so then they're going to say, next offseason when free agency comes around, we just spent $25 million on Ridley, and it's $10 million less in cap space. I don't know if, Gerard, we can spend X on player Y. That's just how they're going to think. So you only have so much money to spend in the Patriots' budget. So that's why you asked the question, is it a good idea
when
the team's not ready?
It's not about the salary cap then.
Not really. It's about the team's structure of spending.
You literally argued that with me for like 2 years straight.
Well, they think there's a cap. There is a Patriots cap of what they're willing to spend.
Right, but Bill Belichick's salary this year is part of that. Wouldn't you agree?
Probably.
Which is what I've been telling you all along, that there is a total budget.
Yep.
And Bill paid himself $30 million, his little boy $2 million.
They're paying assistants a lot.
Well, not all assistants, just ones that happen to have a Belichick last name.
I guess.
I don't know how that worked.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what they're all making, but yeah. Like, do you think Brian Belichick's making multi-millions this year to stick on the team?
My guess is yes. That's why he's still here.
So I think that could be part of it, yes, that they have a lot of money going out this year to coaches that aren't here, the coaches that are here, and they're going to wait and bottom out, get another high pick, and they'll spend next year. And by spending less this year, that will allow them to spend more next offseason.
But so... Work with me here. So let's say you have a budget, right? And you're putting in a new water heater at your house.
Okay.
If you do that this year, you don't have to do it for 10 years.
Yeah, but
so then next year when you're budgeting, you don't have to worry about the water heater because you have one.
Okay, but then you have other things in the house you can't afford.
Well, no, you do that as you get built along. Like, the Patriots can afford all this. This isn't like you're living in some project.
I know you want to say that. They can
but they can.
Okay, I'm not arguing that. But
then what's the point of the conversation?
The conversation is they're not willing to go unlimited money.
Right, and I'm not willing to give them an out on the show or anywhere to say that that's okay.
Fine, but you can just argue about that on repeat, and it doesn't change the fact that this is the structure they operate within.
I would much rather Brandon Ayuk have money than Jonathan Kraft. Call me crazy. I would much rather watch Brandon Ayuk than see Jonathan Kraft on a high chair looking miserable.
All right, but if I'm a fan of the Patriots and I want to play amateur GM, I want to look at the team and say, all right, I know they're only going to spend so much. I want them to spend it well. I want them to do the best thing possible to build the best team.
Right, and so, having Calvin Ridley over K.J. Osborne is a better decision.
Okay, but is having Calvin Ridley and Brandon Ayuk over tackles that you've heard of that can actually hold up a team for a quarter, is that the best spent money? Well, it might not be.
Today, the Patriots are behind two teams in cap space in the NFL, the San Francisco 49ers and the Detroit Lions. You tell me how close the Patriots are to those two teams.
Very close. They're both football teams.
Right.
Jacoby Brissett has probably played for all those teams.
So, and I guess I would also say, you got rid of Bill, right decision, but you've empowered two people that were in the draft room.
Yeah. And actually, they've empowered, if you believe what Mayo is saying, they have empowered Alex Van Pelt to a great degree. Like, basically, his first response to why Drake May didn't play was, I met with the offensive staff. This was our plan all along. I mean, wasn't that kind of obvious to you that he's deferred the offensive thought process to this coaching staff? So Alex Van Pelt is huge. I mean, he is building this thing in his vision, and they're letting him decide what to do with quarterbacks and everybody else.
And I would just add this to the conversation. So Calvin Ridley this year, his cap hit is $10 million. That is $6 million more than K.J. Osborne. $6 million on a cap that you're already...
Osborne looked good Thursday, I thought.
Right.
I
Who thought would you rather have?
I think Osborne's going to be a breakout player.
Okay.
He's going to be like the David Hamilton of the Patriots this year.
Just like you thought Devontae Parker would be?
Oh, what a... I mean, has there anybody that's been more... If Ken
he would have been if Belichick hadn't mismanaged it.
If Ken wasn't the bland manager of this radio station, he would have fired himself 5 years ago with these takes. I mean, you were wrong about
Bill's,
Brady.
I was not wrong. It was Bill's fault. I mean, honestly, he ruined Mac and he ruined Devontae Parker. Both great players who will resurface and be excellent this year.
You said...
Devontae's retired.
He's going to come out of retirement.
Juju Smith-Schuster, Devontae Parker, N'Keal Harry. I mean, literally, that...
I didn't say N'Keal Harry was going to be good.
Yes, you did.
When?
You said that Brady was the reason he wasn't good, that he didn't give him time to throw. You're...
I never said that. No, you're just totally
making
that up. I did not. Never said that.
Of course.
I never said N'Keal Harry was a good selection.
No, you said that Brady ruined him.
I did not say that. No, you're just...
You literally blame global warming on Brady.
God, you just lie repeatedly. It's like 5 days.
Okay, so you were wrong about Bill and Tom. You were wrong about the cap.
I was not wrong about Bill and Tom. Tom should have stayed. Would have been better for his...
You think in hindsight he regrets leaving?
Yes, his life is a disaster.
I think you're the only person in Massachusetts that feels that way. But I'm privileged to say...
Well, look what happened when he went. God.
Yeah, he looks miserable. He's got a six-pack, and he's banging every chick in Vegas.
And he's in Paris. Like, God, does he have to show up everywhere?
His daughter wanted to go to the Olympics. Pretty cool thing.
I don't know. It's just he's got to be everywhere.
Or he's wanted everywhere, just like the greatest of all time. You think Leonardo DiCaprio is just like he shows up places uninvited?
Isn't Parker in the Eagles, by the way? Parker's going to be good this year.
We'll see him at joint practices. You'll just notice him. He's the one dropping passes.
He's going to be flying by Gonzo.
No, he retired.
All right, well, he's going to come out of retirement then. Eagles like him. That's what I heard. That's my source. 617-779-7937. I would like to get back to your anger about Tristan Casas next. If you missed the start of the program, this was our out-of-the-box topic, or right off the bat. Curtis texting me, shots at Bradford yesterday. Cora taking, I think it could probably be said, a shot at Casas that he's not here. Red Sox lose.
Could be said.
Yeah.
Do you think Rob will tell
Cora? Yeah.
Do you think Rob will tell Cora he has the right to be wrong?
it's your prerogative to be wrong. We got to get Rob in here early if he's willing. God, for an 11:45 crossover, this could be good. This could be very good. I think you guys need to work this out.
Well, I mean, where am I wrong?
I agreed with you last week, so I don't think you are wrong.
You're very vocal in your joint.
I try not to step on you, too. I let you go. You know, the worst thing in radio is talking over one another.
You're texting Rob. Curtis is the worst.
I never say that. You're both equally my friend.
It's okay. You can have you.
And we will discuss the Casas situation next.
Sims is working out of the stretch. His pitch hit high in the air and deep down the left field line, and that's going to get out of here. over the Monster Seats. A two-run homer. And the Astros have tied it at three as Altuve goes deep for the 15th time this year. He's driven in 50. And it's a 3-3 game. That was a bomb off the bat of the diminutive Altuve.
Ugh. That is not the way to start the homestand, Curtis. Not the way you drew the sweeper up.
No.
In the sweet spot. From Sims, one of your trade deadline acquisitions. Red Sox go down 8-4 the final after leading 3-1. You got a bounce-back start from Hauk, too. He was a little erratic early, but pitched pretty well. Four hits, I think. They pulled him after 82 pitches. That's a little bit eye-opening. What do you think about that? Six innings, 82 pitches.
They're probably trying. I mean, I don't think they thought they'd be in the thick of a playoff race when they were doing the innings management early in the year, probably. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, nights like last night are just must wins. Like, it's going to be really hard, and I just want them to be in it as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And to lose a game like that with that dink Altuve was not a fun thing to watch last night.
And as you pointed out earlier, a lot of Astros fans in the building that were yucking it up. They had won in the last four series, the opener, four straight series. Yankees, Seattle, Texas, Kansas City. You're up 3-1. You're feeling good. Bullpen has a chance to lock it down. Hauk bounce back game. Instead, Houston wins the opener. Now, they're 61-53. Red Sox with 48 games left. If they finish 500, Curtis, that's still 85 wins. So you are in a pretty decent situation. They will get, you think, Liam Hendricks back, Slayton back, and Casas. But when is the question? So yesterday in the pregame, Alex Cora was asked about Casas' status.
Just a quick thing just to finish the Houston thing.
Yeah.
I just looked it up. It would have been great. But why is Houston a uniquely great Boston sports town?
Why is Houston a uniquely great Boston
sports? For Boston sports fans.
Oh, why is it based on the Super Bowl?
Two. Mm-hmm. And then I thought the Celtics beat the Rockets there, but they didn't. That was back home. But that is the only place they won. They beat Wiggy in Super Bowl 38, and
yeah,
they beat the Falcons in Super Bowl 51.
That's always kind of a weird thing with Wiggy, that he lost to the Patriots at a Super Bowl, and he, like, hated them at the time, right?
Hey, well,
Bill cut him?
Bill cut him, told other teams not to sign him.
Right.
And then you had, you know, John Casey kick out of bounds after a great finish to that game. Awesome. But people forget. They think that Casey hit it out of bounds, and then the Patriots just got right into field goal range. Offensive pass interference on 2nd and 10 when Troy Brown caught a first down. 2nd and 20, a couple of just the most amazing plays by Deion Branch, Tom Brady, to get that ball into field goal range, and boom, another Super Bowl.
I haven't been in the Patriots Hall of Fame. I need to go check that.
I haven't either.
Part of it out. They need to start doing, like the Red Sox here at Fenway, where we're broadcasting from today in our Ford Clubhouse studios. They have up in the upper sections, they have great moments in Red Sox history, plaques like honoring significant moments. Wiggy, at least, should get in the Patriots Hall of Fame for the snowball 10-catch performance. I mean,
right.
Even Robert Kraft admitted yesterday.
Right, and he had money in the Patriots in Super Bowl 38.
Anyway, back to yesterday's pregame.
Right.
Casas. On Cora responding. Right now, it's him. It's up to him. He's healthy. Like I said, he's been taking grounders for a long time. I think the baseball part of it, the physical part of it, he's ready to go. Now the timing of it, he will let us know. And when pressed whether he could be back this weekend, he said it's up to him. So we're excited to get him back. You took a victory lap with me on text message last night at Bradfo for suggesting that you were wrong, that this is not contract related. But also, I guess you guys had it out about whether, you know, he should be here, when he's going to be here.
I mean, I just think it's simple that if Alex Cora is saying that publicly, how long do you think he's felt that way? And
that Casas should be here.
And this isn't reaction. Yes. This isn't frustration postgame. This was pregame. So,
and follows last week where Cora called him out, was upset about his quote to the sideline reporter in Worcester.
Right. Obviously, if he was in that pain, we wouldn't have him playing.
Right.
So, and Tristan Casas told the Greg Hill Show in end of February that I think he said Alex Cora is the backbone of the organization. So someone that he allegedly respects is now calling him out. And why else would he be doing this? Why else would Cora be saying this other than Tristan Casas just doesn't care enough to get back? He's more into making sure he's fully healthy, performing at his peak when he's playing in the big leagues. That's not even it. Like, if Casas doesn't think he's ready, then it does hurt his contract if he's in the big leagues putting up bad numbers. Whatever he's doing right now in a rehab assignment with WuSox isn't going to be used against him when he's negotiating an arbitration a year from now.
Well, if he's staying with the Red Sox, which he will be for quite some time because they have his rights for all those years, wouldn't it actually be to his benefit to have bad numbers and play when they're wanting him to? When your manager's calling you out for not being here.
Well, it's not up to the Red Sox. After the 25 season, it's an arbitration.
But if they have the option to sign him like they did with Bayo and Rafaela.
Right, but I'm sure they spoke with him before they signed Bayo, and they were nowhere near each other.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, if you're Casas, I guess you should have the conversation. Look, I'm going to play through this. My numbers, I might not be at my peak yet, but because you want me, I'm coming. But you better take care of me when it comes to contract time.
Yeah, but I'm telling you that he probably feels that he hasn't been close when they signed Bayo, and he's trusting himself that when he's healthy, he'll be good, but he's not going to rush back for this team.
Yeah, it's not great.
I mean, how else would you read that?
Well, yeah, and when Bayo's contract was done, Casas admitted there were offers made.
Right.
But his team didn't think the dollar figure was the value that agents see in him as a player.
So you preseason see that the team gives a guy with a 5 ERA all this money and says that you weren't worthy of it. And you're going to take your time to come back because you know they're going to use bad numbers against you. So why would you risk that?
Would you give Casas huge money right now?
Yeah, why not?
Well, the why not is he's currently injured. He's a little bit quirky.
Right. But, I mean, most great players are quirky. And he's a corner infielder with power, about as tough to find in baseball as it is. It's not like their farm system's got a bunch of these guys coming through. They basically have middle infielders.
Yeah.
And outfield.
I don't see this relationship lasting much longer. I don't want to say much longer, but they're going to trade him at some point, right? Isn't that the way
you start to wonder about Cora and the young player with Verdugo gone last year? Now you got Casas leaving. I mean, I think it's more on Verdugo and Casas than on Cora, but that could be an interesting conversation point at some point.
Yeah, it could be. I think they made the right choice on Verdugo.
Absolutely.
Casas is good.
But isn't this about the time last year when Cora was publicly bitching about the timing in Verdugo's arrival?
Right. I think he's very attentive to players subverting his clubhouse in terms of his control of it and their attitude therein.
I feel like there was that video that was posted after they took the series in Kansas City where they did a shot of whatever it was. And Cora said, I hope you guys feel that I live and die every at-bat with you.
Oh, yeah, that was after his 500th win as Sox manager.
Mm. Was it in Kansas City?
Yes.
And so he did that speech, and I think he said that because he was celebrating it, but he's also telling the guys that we're all in here. We have a chance to do something. We need to put everybody... put their own feelings aside and work towards a common goal.
And praised Trevor Story yesterday.
Right.
That he's going to be back. This guy's coming back. He's he loves Trevor Story.
And it's going to be a great...
Casas, I'm not sure.
Right.
But he comes back actually just watching how Casas behaves and interacts with the team is going to be interesting. Does he go back to the pregame theatrics?
I wonder what he's having for lunch today.
I wonder that too. I mean, there are great options in Worcester.
I love faux feta.
He's probably at the Wormtown Brewery. That is a great place out there.
Lovely place. Worcester got good food. What was that bar we went at across the street where Greg had like so many fans lining up?
Yep. We had a few sliders.
That was where Greg
threw a slider for the first pitch.
We parked. Greg just like told the cop, he's like, we're parking here. They're like, okay. I was like, all right. We're like literally in the middle of the road.
413 texter. Story will be back before Casas is. That's actually possible. I guess he's got 20 days. He's got to come back at some point. I mean, next week he'll be back. At the latest, I think. Bradfo is efforting to get down here in time to join us for the crossover at 11:45, Curtin. So you guys can hash it out then. I can tell you right now what Rob's response is going to be, though. You can't prove that this is contract related. He's just going to say there's something else going on. It's just Casas being Casas.
Okay, can you tell me a baseball player that doesn't have a long-term free agent deal that doesn't do everything with their contract in mind? He already had negotiations. Didn't go well this offseason. You just alluded to that.
Jaren Duran, Iron Man. I bring him up all the time. Puts his body, doesn't care about the money. This guy is just, he's out there every day, plays through pain.
So do you think he views that that totally will lead him to more money?
Yep. Well, no. No. Just doing it for the love.
Oh. That's why I'm here.
That is why you are here. And we are here at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150 official truck of the Red Sox. We've got the gold medal game. Is it 3:30 today that I hear?
That's right.
Joe B's trending. Wiggy is boycotting. We can play some of that for you yesterday. His Wiggy's lead, he has turned. He's basically openly rooting for France today. Are you? Will Tatum play? What's Kerr doing? I do think this deserves some more attention. That's
and
a
I'm
big
also,
story today.
I'm also interested in just people. Like, we heard Fitzy talk to the guys. Where are you on the Patriots? Are you just out more into your fantasy team and to the rest of the league? Are you interested? I mean, I think, just speaking for myself, they lost a lot of people the second Bailey Zappi went into that game. I know. I went and got James ready for bed. Like, what's the point?
It wasn't, like, lustily booing, but it was booing at the stadium.
But I feel like if you're at home on Thursday night,
yeah,
you finally sit down, you see Jacoby Brissett, and then you're like, holy cow, Drake's already in. This is awesome. And then I think the defense forced a three and out, and then boom, it's Bailey Zappi. I feel like just so many people, because it just really took the air out of the balloon of any real competition.
So where are you with the Pats? Where are you with Tatum and the Celtics and the Olympic team? We'll get your thoughts on that next.
Sims is working out of the stretch. His pitch hit high in the air and deep down the left field line, and that's going to get out of here. Over the monster seats, a two-run homer. And the Astros have tied it at three as Altuve goes deep. For the 15th time this year, he's driven in 50. And it's a 3-3 game. That was a bomb off the bat of the diminutive Altuve.
Ugh. That is not the way to start the homestand, Curtis. Not the way you drew the sweeper up.
No.
In the sweet spot. From Sims, one of your trade deadline acquisitions. Red Sox go down 8-4 the final after leading 3-1. Got a bounce-back start from Hauk, too. He was a little erratic early, but pitched pretty well. Four hits, I think. They pulled him after 82 pitches. That's a little bit eye-opening. What do you think about that? Six innings, 82 pitches.
They're probably trying. I mean, I don't think they thought they'd be in the thick of a playoff race when they were doing the innings management early in the year, probably. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, nights like last night are just must-wins. Like, it's going to be really hard, and I just want them to be in it as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And to lose a game like that with that dink Altuve was not a fun thing to watch last night.
And as you pointed out earlier, a lot of Astros fans in the building that were yucking it up. They had won in the last four series, the opener, four straight series. Yankees, Seattle, Texas, Kansas City. You're up 3-1. You're feeling good. Bullpen has a chance to lock it down. Hauk bounce back game. Instead, Houston wins the opener. Now, they're 61-53. Red Sox with 48 games left. If they finish 500, Curtis, that's still 85 wins. So you are in a pretty decent situation. They will get, you think, Liam Hendricks back, Slayton back, and Casas. But when is the question? So yesterday in the pregame, Alex Cora was asked about Casas' status.
Just a quick thing just to finish the Houston thing.
Yeah.
I just looked it up. It would have been great, but why is Houston a uniquely great Boston sports town?
Why is Houston a uniquely great Boston
sports? For Boston sports fans.
Oh, why is it based on the Super Bowl?
Two. Mm-hmm. And then I thought the Celtics beat the Rockets there, but they didn't. That was back home. But that is the only place they won. They beat Wiggy in Super Bowl 38, and
yeah,
they beat the Falcons in Super Bowl 51.
That's always kind of a weird thing with Wiggy, that he lost to the Patriots at a Super Bowl, and he like hated them at the time, right?
Hey, well,
Bill cut him.
Bill cut him. Told other teams not to sign him.
Right.
And then you had, you know, John Casey kick out of bounds after a great finish to that game. Awesome. But people forget. They think that Casey hit it out of bounds, and then the Patriots just got right into field goal range. Offensive pass interference on 2nd and 10 when Troy Brown caught a first down. 2nd and 20, a couple of just the most amazing plays by Deion Branch, Tom Brady, to get that ball into field goal range, and boom, another Super Bowl.
I haven't been in the Patriots Hall of Fame. I need to go check that.
I haven't either.
Part of it out. They need to start doing, like the Red Sox here at Fenway, where we're broadcasting from today in our Ford Clubhouse studios. They have up, you know, up in the upper sections, they have great moments in Red Sox history, plaques like honoring significant moments. Wiggy at least should get in the Patriots Hall of Fame for the snowball 10 catch performance. I mean, right. Even Robert Kraft admitted yesterday.
Right. And he had money in the Patriots in Super Bowl 38.
Anyway, back to yesterday's pregame.
Right.
Cassis. On Cora responding. Right now, it's him. It's up to him. He's healthy. Like I said, he's been taking grounders for a long time. I think the baseball part of it, the physical part of it, he's ready to go. Now the timing of it, he will let us know. And when pressed whether, you know, he could be back this weekend, he said it's up to him. So we're excited to get him back. You took a victory lap with me on text message last night at Bradfo for suggesting that you were wrong, that this is not contract related. But also, I guess you guys had it out about whether, you know, he should be here, when he's going to be here.
I mean, I just think it's simple that if Alex Cora is saying that publicly, how long do you think he's felt that way? And
that Cassis should be here.
And this isn't reaction. Yes. This isn't frustration postgame. This was pregame. So,
and follows last week where Cora called him out, was upset about his quote to the sideline reporter in Worcester.
Right. Obviously, if he was in that pain, we wouldn't have him playing.
Right.
So, and Tristan Casas told the Greg Hill Show in end of February that I think he said Alex Cora is the backbone of the organization. So someone that he allegedly respects is now calling him out. And why else would he be doing this? Why else would Cora be saying this other than Tristan Casas just doesn't care enough to get back? He's more into making sure he's fully healthy, performing at his peak when he's playing in the big leagues. That's not even it. Like, if Casas doesn't think he's ready, then it does hurt his contract if he's in the big leagues putting up bad numbers. Whatever he's doing right now in a rehab assignment with Woo Sox isn't going to be used against him when he's negotiating an arbitration a year from now.
Well, if he's staying with the Red Sox, which he will be for quite some time because they have his rights for all those years, wouldn't it actually be to his benefit to have bad numbers and play when they're wanting him to? When your manager's calling you out for not being here.
Well, it's not up to the Red Sox. After the 25 season, it's an arbitration.
But if they have the option to sign him like they did with Bayo and Rafaela.
Right, but I'm sure they spoke with him before they signed Bayo, and they were nowhere near each other.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, if you're Casas, I guess you should have the conversation. Look, I'm going to play through this. My numbers, I might not be at my peak yet, but because you want me, I'm coming, but you better take care of me when it comes to contract time.
Yeah, but I'm telling you that he probably feels that he hasn't been close when they signed Bayo, and he's trusting himself that when he's healthy, he'll be good, but he's not going to rush back for this team.
Yeah, it's not great.
I mean, how else would you read that?
Well, yeah, and they had, when Bayo's contract was done, Casas admitted there were offers made.
Right.
But his team didn't think the dollar figure was the value that agents see in him as a player.
So you preseason see that the team gives a guy with a 5 ERA all this money and says that you weren't worthy of it. And you're going to take your time to come back because you know they're going to use bad numbers against you. So why would you risk that?
Would you give Casas huge money right now?
Yeah, why not?
Well, the why not is he's currently injured. He's a little bit quirky.
Right. But, I mean, most great players are quirky. And he's a corner infielder with power, about as tough to find in baseball as it is. It's not like their farm system's got a bunch of these guys coming through. They basically have middle infielders.
Yeah.
And outfield.
I don't see this relationship lasting much longer. I don't want to say much longer, but they're going to trade him at some point, right? Isn't that the way?
Do you start to wonder about Cora and the young player with Verdugo gone last year? Now you got Casas leaving. I mean, I think it's more on Verdugo and Casas than on Cora, but that could be an interesting conversation point at some point.
Yeah, it could be. I think they made the right choice on Verdugo.
Absolutely.
Casas is good.
But isn't this about the time last year when Cora was publicly bitching about the timing in Verdugo's arrival?
Right. I think he's very attentive to players subverting his clubhouse in terms of his control of it and their attitude therein.
I feel like there was that video that was posted after they took the series in Kansas City where they did a shot of whatever it was. And Cora said, I hope you guys feel that I live and die every at-bat with you.
Oh, yeah, that was after his 500th win as Sox manager.
Mm. Was it in Kansas City?
Yes.
And so he did that speech, and I think he said that because he was celebrating it, but he's also telling the guys that we're all in here. We have a chance to do something. We need to put everybody, put their own feelings aside and work towards a common goal.
And praised Trevor Story yesterday.
Right.
That he's going to be back. This guy's coming back. He's he loves Trevor Story.
And it's going to be a great...
Casas, I'm not sure.
Right.
When he comes back, actually just watching how Casas behaves and interacts with the team is going to be interesting. Does he go back to the pregame theatrics?
I wonder what he's having for lunch today.
I wonder that too. I mean, there are great options in Worcester.
I love faux feta.
He's probably at the Wormtown Brewery. That is a great place out there.
Lovely place. Worcester got good food. What was that bar we went at across the street where Greg had like so many fans lining up?
Yep. We had a few sliders.
That was where Greg
threw a slider for the first pitch.
We parked. Greg just like told the cop. He's like, we're parking here. They're like, okay. I was like, all right. We're like literally in the middle of the road.
413 texter, Story will be back before Casas is. That's actually possible. I guess he's got 20 days. He's got to come back at some point. I mean, next week he'll be back at the latest, I think. Bradfo is efforting to get down here in time to join us for the crossover at 11:45, Curtin. So you guys can hash it out then. I can tell you right now what Rob's response is going to be, though. You can't prove that this is contract related. He's just going to say there's something else going on. It's just Casas being Casas.
Okay, can you tell me a baseball player that doesn't have a long-term free agent deal that doesn't do everything with their contract in mind? He already had negotiations. Didn't go well this offseason. You just alluded to that.
Jaren Duran, Iron Man. I bring him up all the time. Puts his body, doesn't care about the money. This guy is just, he's out there every day, plays through pain.
So do you think he views that
totally
will lead
selfish.
Him to more money?
Yep. Well, no. No. Just doing it for the love.
Oh. That's why I'm here.
That is why you are here. And we are here at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150 official truck of the Red Sox. We've got the gold medal game. Is it 3:30 today that I hear?
That's right.
Joe B's trending. Wiggy is boycotting. We can play some of that for you yesterday. His Wiggy's lead, he has turned. He's basically openly rooting for France today. Are you? Will Tatum play? What's Kerr doing? I do think this... deserves some more attention. That's
and
a
I'm
big
also,
story today.
I'm also interested in just people, like we heard Fitzy talk to the guys. Where are you on the Patriots? Are you just out more into your fantasy team and to the rest of the league? Are you interested? I mean, I think, just speaking for myself, they lost a lot of people the second Bailey Zappi went into that game. I know, I went and got James ready for bed. Like, what's the point?
It wasn't, like, lustily booing, but it was booing at the stadium.
But I feel like if you're at home on Thursday night,
yeah.
you finally sit down, you see Jacoby Brissett, and then you're like, holy cow, Drake's already in. This is awesome. And then I think the defense forced a three and out, and then boom, it's Bailey Zappi. I feel like just so many people. Because it just really took the air out of the balloon of any real competition.
So where are you with the Pats? Where are you with Tatum and the Celtics and the Olympic team? We'll get your thoughts on that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.